Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Irakadesh, is daf Nun Hey. We're holding on the last line of Nun Dalet Amud Beit. So, what the Gemara said was that, what the Mishnah had said was that Natalat Adam B'mish Mimishma Marezba, and then he begins doing the Zrikas Adam, but his Kavana was not that the blood should hit the Kaporet itself, but rather that he was kimatzlif. Now, what exactly does a matzlif mean? My kimatzlif. Machvei Rabbi Yehuda, the meaning of a kimatzlif is the same as someone who would be giving malchus in Bezdin. So he would be kiminagdina. Someone who is whipping, Rashi understands that that means that the shliach Bezdin would not continue to hit a person at the same place. He would move down the back with the whip, so that each one of the drops of blood that ended up on the, it was actually on the floor, as we'll see, it was not on the kaporas itself, or on the parochet itself, was slightly closer to him, or further down, so to speak. So that even though he was going achas lamala, v'sheva lamata, actually he wasn't really aiming towards the kaporet or to the parochet at all. Tana. He is not, when he does the one time on top, it's not really on top. He doesn't want it to touch the top. And when he does the hazoya of the sheva, which it says that it's supposed to be keneged hakaporet, but it's not keneged the kaporet in the sense that it will touch it. It's keneged lifnei hakaporet, means keneged ovia shel kaporet, aimed towards the direction of the thickness of the kaporet, but actually without anything really touching it. So then what is the meaning of the idea of achas lamala v'sheva lamata? In what sense is it above, and in what sense is it below? Kishuhu mazeh lamala mitzaded yado lamata. It has to do with the direction that the blood is sprinkled. Is it blood sprinkling towards up or towards down? So when he is doing the achas lamala, so then what happens is that the back of his hand faces down, so that when he sprinkles, his fingers are facing up, and they sprinkle upwards. On the other direction, the back of his hand is facing up, and then when he's sprinkling towards the floor in the down direction. But that's what lamala and lamata means, and it has nothing to do with actually where it's going to land on the kaporet, because it's not supposed to land on the kaporet anyway.
If I would have read the pasuk, I would have thought that it meant what it said. It says that you're supposed to put it al ha-kaporet. So isn't al hakaporet actually onto the kaporet? Where do we come off saying that it doesn't really mean al in terms of coming into actual contact, and it just means towards it? Where do you get that idea? Omrev hachabar Yaakov omrev Yisraika, omakra vihiza oto al hakaporet v'lifnei hakaporet. Now, in order for us to properly understand this Gemara, I think we're going to have to take a look at the psukim first, to understand what the problem is. Your hand's going to get tired, Barney. Give me a few minutes first to talk, you know. I don't have to be in a constant state of drinking. You know, it's you're going to hold that al hakaporet or lifnei hakaporet.
Hearing Rebbe's voice a slight grinding, it means it's time. I don't know what happened before. I just diagnosed at the moment the Kohen walks in and looks.
That's nice. All. Man, these Kohanim are dangerous, let me tell you. Anyway, let's take a look at the Pesukim, okay? So, our first Pesuk, which talks about the Dam HaPar in Achrimot, so it says, V'lakach mi Dam HaPar, v'hiza be'etzba'o al p'nei ha-kaporet, and this is where we get the idea that it's supposed to actually be on the kaporet, kedma, then it says, v'lifnei ha-kaporet, yazeh sheva pa'amim, min ha-dam be'etzba'o. Now, the way that one would take that, the casual reader would assume that that means that you put it al pnei hakaporet, means on top, and then lifnei hakaporet would mean on the width of the kaporet. So one is facing you, and one is on top of the kaporet that's facing you. The Gemara is claiming that that's not the case at all, that actually nothing is put on it, and nothing is put towards the actual face
of it at all. So we're trying to figure out how we know that. Now, the very next pasuk says as follows. So this was about the par. Now, as we know, we need to do the same thing to the dam ha-sa'ir that we do to the dam ha-par. And the pasuk says so. V'shachat et tzi'ir ha-chatat asher la'am, v'hevi et damo el mi-beit la-parochet, v'asa et damo kasher asa le-dam ha-par. Now, wouldn't that be enough? I mean, you just gave me exact instructions about what to do with the dam ha-par. All you need to do in order for me to get the message about what to do with the dam ha-sa'ir is stop right there. Do exactly what you did to the dam ha-par. Do it to the dam ha-sa'ir. Now, for some reason, the pasuk continues. V'hiza oto al ha-kaporet v'lifnei ha-kaporet. So now what's going to interest us is what the point is of saying both of those things. On the one hand, you're telling me treat the dam ha-sa'ir exactly the way you would treat the par. And then you go right ahead and you say what to do with the dam ha-sa'ir. So now if we look closely at the pasuk, you will notice some very important differences. Difference number one is it does not say sheva pa'amim when it comes to the dam ha-sa'ir. It says sheva pa'amim only in reference to the dam ha-sa'ir. V'lifnei ha-kaporet yazeh sheva pa'amim min adam. The other difference is that when it comes to the dam ha-sa'ir, it says vihiza oto. And when it's talking about the dam ha-par, it only says vihiza be'etzba'o. And so the Gemara is going to actually analyze those differences and explain why it is that they are important in our understanding both the nature of the dam ha-par zrika and the nature of the dam ha-sa'ir's zrika. So here's how we analyze it. Minani mile, Omer Ravacha bar Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Akra v'hiza oto al ha-kaporet. Now that, of course, is a reference, as we just saw, to the Dam ha-sa'ir, which is the second pasuk, pasuk tetvav. So there it says v'hiza oto, oto clearly meaning once, al ha-kaporet, v'lifnei ha-kaporet. Now, what I'd like to know is, you didn't tell me how many times to sprinkle it, lifnei ha-kaporet, when it came to the dam ha-sa'ir, right? So the only way we're going to know the correct number of times is by looking at the pasuk that said, in this very same pasuk, the beginning of the pasuk was, v'asa et damo kasher asa l'dam ha-par. So no matter what you tell me, in any event, I'm going to need to come onto that hekesh that the pasuk is making between the dam ha-par and the dam ha-sa'ir, correct? So I need to anyway access the pasuk, which is the previous pasuk, about the dam ha-par, pasuk yud dalet, where over there it says sheva pa'amim. So if I need to look there to figure out it's sheva pa'amim, so then why can't you just leave it out completely and let me learn the entire idea of the hazoya lifnei ha-kaporet in the same way I need to learn it from the par in terms of the number of times lifnei ha-kaporet? So you might as well just leave it out, asks the Gemara. So as the Gemara, lo ye'amer lamata b'sa'ir, delo tzarech. There is no point whatsoever in mentioning the words lifnei ha-kaporet, because you didn't tell me anyway how much to do it lifnei ha-kaporet, and we're going to need to learn it in any event, the gomar mimata depar. We're going to learn it anyway from the previous pasuk. So lama ne'amar. Why was it mentioned? Well, I'll tell you why it was mentioned. It was mentioned la'akushe al lilifnei. It is there in order for you to understand the interrelationship between the words al and the words lifnei. That's what it's for. And you need to understand that the following is true. That just lifnei, the word lifnei clearly does not mean al. The word lifnei here means in front of. And there's no way that it could be understood otherwise, because there's no reference to anything else. So lifnei would be only in front of it, not actually on it. So the only reason for me to mention that is to tell me that in the same way that lamata, which was unnecessary, is certainly not actually on it, so too the al, which was said in the beginning of the pasuk about the sa'ir, is coming to tell me that when it says al, it doesn't mean literally al at all. And therefore, we actually know that there are meant to be this same, once we know that, we know that the same thing is true about the par. Because once we've established that it's true by the Seyer, it's certainly correct that the Pusik has told us that you're supposed to treat them exactly the same. V'asa las dama Seyer kasher asa la dama par. Okay. Says the Gemara, well, yeah, you could say that. But, I mean, I could present an actual mirror image of your drasha. Okay, here's what I would say. I would say, let's do it just the opposite. Okay, Adarabba. What we should say is, why bother mentioning anyway, Lamala Bapar? Did it say in the Pusik how many times you're supposed to sprinkle it on top? No. It just says Viza al Hakapora. The only place it says how many times is in the Dam HaSayer, where it says Viza Oto, which is once. But it doesn't say anything about that when it comes to the Dama Par. So how about if I start in the opposite direction? How about if I say, look, if any way you're going to have to learn out the din of how many times to sprinkle on top of by the par, you're going to have to learn it out of the Seyer. So don't even mention that you need to sprinkle on top. Just mention that you need to sprinkle lifnei hakaporet sheva pamim. Anyway, you're going to learn out from asa las ladama seir kasher asa ladama par. Take the number one, the oto, which is said by the seir, apply it to the par, and anyway, that would make it unnecessary to mention it by the par, because the gomar mimala de seir. We're going to have to learn it out from the top first achas lamala of the second pasuk, pasuk tetvat, lamanemar. Why does it say, therefore? Now remember, this is an alternative narrative here. So I would tell you, why therefore does it even mention al on the par, which wasn't necessary? Ah, it must be to teach me that when it says lifnei, you should treat lifnei the way you treat al. The exact opposite. So just like al means on, so la kusha lifnei la al. Al always means on, right? So, okay, so over here we can assume that it means on, and that's the only reason it was mentioned, was to make sure that you understand that it has to be on. So just like al means al mamash when it comes to the par, so to the lifnei that is mentioned by the par means lifnei, that is to say, upon it, except upon the part that's facing you, rather than the roof of the kaporet, right? And that makes perfectly good sense. So then we would know by the par that the din is, it has to actually touch the kaporet, and then since it says v'asa la'seir kasher asa, it would mean the same thing by the seir. It's the same exact limud that you made, except it's the reverse. Instead of saying we don't need the bottom of the seir, why don't you say we don't need the top of the par? And then you end up with opposite conclusions. It's very arbitrary to me that you decided to go the other way around. So says the Gemara, oh, now wait a minute. what kind of talk is that? There's no other option but the way that I explained it, you see, because if you're going to say what I said, and namely that we're asking, why bother saying the lamata of the Seyer? And I say, okay, the reason that it says lamata by the Seyer is in order to make the hekesh between the idea of lamata to lamala and to tell me it does not mean al, then everything makes sense. You know why? Because when you go back and you look at the par and you ask me, yeah, okay, very nice, you explain why it has to say lamata by the Seyer, but you never told me why it has to say lamala by the par. Oh, I'll tell you. I have a very good answer why it says lamala by the par. It says lamala for the par for a famous drasha of the Tana Devei Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, okay? And I need it for that. What was that drasha? The Tana Devei Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, in the Beis HaMedrash of Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, we learned, al pinei hakaporet kedma. The key to why I need those words is the word kedma. It's teaching me that every place the Torah uses the word pinei, it always means towards the east. Zebneav, kom akom shenema pnei, eno ela kadim. That by definition, the reference of pnei is to the east, because the earth rotates to the east. Therefore, as you're facing east, you're facing ahead. As you're first facing west, you're facing behind. So that's the derech of the rotation of the planet. And therefore, I now can account for why we need to know the din of Lamata on the Sayer. That's to tell me that Al does not mean really Al. And why we need to know Lamala of the Par. That's to tell me this general halacha that Kedma is actually to the east. Okay, but if you're going to do it the other way around and say, why does it say Lamala on the Par? That must be to tell me that when you put it Lifnei, it has to be literally Al. So now when I get to the Sayer and I say, hey, how come it says Lamata on the Sayer if anyway I need to learn out the Sayer from the Par, even to be able to know the number of times that I do it? You won't have any answer. So now that I can account for everything in this fashion, obviously it makes sense. The lima that I have from the Par is the lima about Kedma. The lima that I have from the Sayer is to tell me that Lifnei is not on, and therefore on is not on. Tan Rabban. There's a braita that actually sort of summarizes this whole thing. Okay, it goes like this. Vizoto ala kaporet vilifnei hakaporet. So what exactly does that mean in the pasuk? Vizoto ala kaporet vilifnei hakaporet. It doesn't say any numbers. This is the pasuk that is in pasuk tetvav, the pasuk about the Sayer. Pasuk by the Par does tell us numbers, right? So now, when it says in that pasuk, says the braita, so what exactly does it mean? Ala kaparet lifnei hakaparet. So lamadnu kama lamala b'sayir achat. One thing that we see from there that we didn't know before was that there's one and only one zrika, which is lamala. What is that? Oto. That single zrika should be done lamala, al. Okay. And now I'm very confused because lamata eni yodea kama. It doesn't say how many to do for the Sayer. It just says v'lifnei. Well, hareni dan. Nemru damim lamata bepar, v'nemru damim lamata besayer. So just like lamata bepar, it means seven, and it says so beferish, shotu is lamata besayer sheva. Well, I mean, that's one option. You could say we would learn the Sayer from the Par. I mean, maybe we should look at the other way around. We should say, look, it says damim lamala, of the Sayer, and it defines it as one Hazoya. And it says Domim Lamata Besoyer, and it doesn't define it. It just leaves it open. Okay, so therefore, I would say, just like Lamala Besoyer is one, Lamata Besoyer is one. Well, that's a possibility. Let's analyze what's more reasonable. Nir Lamidome. I say we should learn out the Lamata of the Dam, in the case of the Sayer, from the Lamata of the Dam, in the case of the Par. Rather than learning Lamata from Lamala, wouldn't you say? No, I wouldn't say at all. I would say Adarabba. I mean, makes more sense to me to learn a Sayer from a Sayer and not to learn a Sayer from a Par. Dunin gufo mi gufo vein dunin gufo mi alma. So I would not know what to do if it wouldn't be that the Torah went out of its way to say b'feirush. Therefore, Talmud Omar, v'asa etamo kasher asa l'dam hapar. Why was that necessary since you spelled it out anyway? She'ein Talmud Omar kasher asa, u'ma Talmud Omar kasher asa. It's coming to tell you, she'u kol asiyotov shavot. Just like we know l'mata b'par is sheva, kach l'mata b'soyer is sheva. So now we know that there are kama lamata bepar ubesayer sheva. But wait, I still don't know how many times to sprinkle the dam of the par lamala, because it just said vihiza, it didn't say vihiza oto, so lamala bepar eni yodea kama. Ah, so let me try this again. Hareni dan, it says damim lamala on the sa'ir, and it explains that it means one. And it says domim lamala in the par, and it doesn't say how many. Okay, well, if lamala in the Sayer is one, so it makes sense to say that lamala on the par is one. Well, maybe, but maybe I could argue in the other direction. I could say kolach l'derech zu. It says domim lamata with the par, and it says domim lamala with the par. So just like lamata on the par, it spells out seven. So therefore, it wants us to learn the upper dam from the par from the lower dam of the par, and aflamala bepar sheva. Okay, so you have two options. Let's see what's more reasonable. Nirele midome. I think we should learn upper from upper. So learn upper par from upper sire, but don't learn upper from lower to learn upper par from lower par. On the contrary, let's learn a par from a par and not a par from a sire, wouldn't you say? Adarabba, dunin gufa mi gufa vein dunin gufa mi alma. Once again, that explains why the pasuk spells out what's the point of all of that extra talk if it spells it out anyway? The same way lamata bepar sheva, kach lamata besoyer sheva. Ukeshem shelamala besoyer achat, kach lamala bepar achat. So now we know exactly where we get the idea of achas lamala, the achas lamata. But where do we get the idea that you're supposed to count achas, achas v'yachas, and so on and so on? Tana rabbanim. Achat, achat v'achat, achat v'shtayim, achat v'shalot, achat v'arba, achat v'chamesh, achat v'shesh, achat v'sheva. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Now, if we're going to paskel like Rebbe Yehuda, we're going to have to rewrite all the machzorim. Because Rebbe Yehuda says, no, that's not the way that he counted. He counted achat, achat ve'achat, shtayim ve'achat, shalosh ve'achat, arba ve'achat, chamesh ve'achat, shesh ve'achat, sheva ve'achat. What a disaster. And actually, believe it or not, lo plige, they're not really arguing. It's just a question of what the local usage is. Around your parts, do they say esrim ve'achad, or do they say achad ve'esrim? So if they say esrim ve'achad, that means that we use the number that stands still for all 10 digits, we use it first, and then we take the moving number, in which case we would do the same thing over here. Achad, achad ve'achad, achad ve'shtayim. Same way we'd say esrim, esrim ve'achad, esrim ve'shtayim. If you're used to saying the other way around, and you would say achat ve'esrim, which we find often in the Torah, and there clearly were places that counted that way, so then we would do it like Rebbe Yehuda. So it's really not important in which order we do it. But what is important is the fact that we do separate the initial azah from the others, and not only that, but we go out of our way to make certain that we recount the original azah with each one of the Azoyos Lamata and Azaharishonatir Chaminyan im kol achat ve'achat. Why? So Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shalo Yit'eh Bahazaot. It just makes it easier to remember precisely where you were, because now you have time to think about, okay, where was I up to Lamata and what did I do Lamala, instead of putting them together in your head and having to separate them. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, this is not logistics. This is halacha in the Torah. Each one of these hazayas is meant to be numbered on its own. It's given its own number. And it says in the pasuk, v'lifnei ha-kaporet yazeh. You just needed to say v'lifnei ha-kaporet. You didn't need to say yazeh. If you said yazeh, v'lifnei ha-kaporet, it would be perfectly clear that the yazeh was referring to both on, al, and lifnei. So why do you have to repeat the word? That's to tell me that each one of the hazoyos needs to be linked by number to the hazoya that was done initially. So tzricha minyan im kol achat v'achat. And the big difference between them would be, my beinayu, ike beinayu, de lo mana v'lo ta'a. Since according to the way Rabbi Elazar was saying it, that it's just logistical. If you didn't make any mistake, there's no problem if you left out the minyan. But according to the way Rabbi Yochanan understands it, it's an chiyuv d'oraisa, and since it's chukah, and chukah means everything is ma'akev, it is not a kosher hazoya. And if you didn't do it with the numbering system of mentioning the original hazoya lamala with each one of the ones that you counted, you would not be yotze, and the whole azoya would be pasul. So what that means is that when we're talking about sheva pamim, we're not talking about sheva pamim. We're talking about each one of them with a separate identity. There's a big nafkamina la'alocha, as the Briskarov speaks out. The nafkamina la'alocha is that if you're just counting for logistics, you can count Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and so on. It doesn't really matter because you just want to know the total number. But if the Torah says that you need a minion of each one, then that means that each one has to be given an actual number. It's not that I want to know that I did seven. I want to know which one is Mr. One, which one is Mr. Two, which one is Mr. Three. And each one of them needs to be linked to the original one. Now, that explains why we make such a fuss of this, because otherwise it just seems silly. I mean, we need to remember in the Maaser what it is that the, I understand that he had a problem and had him remember it. I mean, come on, we're going to do this four times. He said in the Yom Kippur Aveda. I mean, it just seems a little bit silly to go through exactly that this is the way that he would count as if it has some kind of profound significance. But the truth is that it's Ma'akiv, the entire Aveda is Yom Kippurim. And it's not that we just want to know the number of Hazoyas, which changes the entire relationship to it. Yatzavi nicho al kana zahav shebeichal, and then he goes out, and he sets it down on the little stand that is there in the heichal. And remember that Rabbi Yehuda said, first he has to pick up the dam of the par, and then he puts down the dam of the sayer, because there was only one of these stands, not two, so he couldn't possibly put down the one from the Sa'ir on the second one, the way the Tanakhama said, because there wasn't any second one, which would mean he'd have to first pick up the one that he had put down there in order to put down the next one. Now, you'll remember that we had in Shkolim, we had the whole discussion over there, the big machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, about whether or not there was one shofar for bringing birds that were oilas, where people would be noidev and oila as a bird, and one shofar for the kinim that you would be chayev if you were zav, a zava, yoledet, a mitzora, a mitame migdash v'kedeshav, be'anias, and so on, where you have a carbon oila v'yoreid. So then one would have to be for chatas and one would have to be for an oila. So the Tanakhama said, there was one container. Remember, they were shaped like shofarot. They were like, they went up to a little opening on top so you couldn't get your hand in it. But the idea over there was one of the shofarot, it was for olat nidava of birds. So they were kinei nidava. And the other one were kinei chova, which would mean half of the money was for chatas and half of the money was for an oila. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, oh no, there were no shofarot for kinei chova. There were two, but the two were both for olos. And the difference between the two was that one of them was for the younger birds and one of them was for the torim. So one is for b'nei yonah and one is for torim, but they were all olot. And the reason that there were no shofarot for kinei chova is because I'm worried that that's all we need is to get a mix-up, because if somebody puts the wrong money into the wrong shofar, it's a disaster, because then, since the Aveda of the Chata Sa'of is totally different than the Ola Sa'of and ends up becoming puzzle, so now if he's going to end up mixing Demei Oila with Demei Chatas, or vice versa, we're going to have a real problem on our hand. It's better to handle this away from the shofarot, and we'll figure out another system for people to bring the kinei chova. So, Omer of Yosef, what do we mean, mipnei ha-taharovet? We are worried that people are going to mix the chova and the dava. Says Abaye, well, what do you mean we're afraid you're going to mix it? I mean, put a sign on it, for God's sake. Just write on it, chova, on one, and write on in the other one, nidava, right? I mean, people aren't that dumb. They're not going to put it in the wrong one, are they? Well, Rabbi Yehuda says, yep, people are that dumb. He does not believe in signs. Nobody reads signs, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So, less like Ketiva, I'll prove it to you that he doesn't hold the reading signs because of the Mishnah over here in Yuma. Because he says there was only one stand. Why was there only one stand? Lo yasham elakan echad bilvad. So, you tell me. What's the big deal? Make two, and then have the Kohen, let the Kohen off, for heaven's sakes. Let him set down one of the dam and then pick up the other dam, right? Because Mishum de Michlefe. Because then if he just rests for a moment, now it's, oh, heck, where did I put down? Which one was that? Oh, no. And now he's in sorrows. He doesn't remember which one he did. Which one. Now it's, okay, so just write on one of them, Sawyer, right on the other one, par. That way, when he puts it down, he'll know exactly where to put it. And then when he comes back, he'll be able, even if he blinked for a moment, he'll be able to read it again, right? So obviously, Reb Yehuda does not hold of people reading signs. What else can you say? So if an avitre, v'lichtav alayo ha'adapar v'ha'adisayir, can't you just write which one is which? So obviously, not according to Reb Yehuda. Ela do Reb Yehuda let le'ketiva. Says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. Reb Yehuda cannot possibly hold that we do not do ketiva. Reb Yehuda is the author of that whole description in the Mishnah, and then in the Braita. I mean, it's from the Braita, the Iker Nekudas Mamish in the Mishnah and Shkolim. Shlosh Esrei Shofarot Ayobim Mikdash. We had 13 of these shofarot. Ve'haya katuv aleihem. And the following was written. On number one, it said, Tiklin Chadatin, the new Shkolim. The number two said, Tiklin Atikin, last year Shkolim. The number three said, Kinim. Number four said, Gozle Ola. Number five said, Eitzim. We'll see what each one of those were. And number six said, Livona. And number seven said, Zahav Lakapore. And then there were another six that all said four Nidavot, which went to Kayetz HaMizbeach, equals 13. And, continues the Mishnah, so far this is not a question. I mean, maybe it's not going like Rabbi Yehuda, right? So it continues the Mishnah. What was the use of each one of these? So Tiklin Chadatin, those were people who brought their Shkolim a little bit late and came in with this year's Shkolim, they would put it in there. Tiklin Atikim, those were people who never brought last year's Shekel. So when they come into this year, they can't put it into the new Shekel box because the new Shekel box is going to be going for the Trumas Halishka of this year. So they put it into the special box, which was then added to the leftovers from last year, and that was used for the various things that were used from the leftovers, like building the walls and stuff like that. So that was the Tiklin Atikin. Then we had the Kinin. Ah, now here's the point. Here's where we get into the Reb Yehuda issue. Kinim are torim. They're made only for birds, but they're olos. There goes le olai. And b'nei, the other one, goes le ola rather, is the b'nei yona. But all of them are olos, kulam olos. Now, that is the only difference between them is what you use, what animal you use, what bird you use, but not what you use it for. It's definitely an ola. Divrei Reb Yehuda. So you see from this Mishnah, the Reb Yehuda is the one that describes labeling signs. So he agrees that you put up signs and people know what they're doing. What are you trying to tell me? Ridiculous. Reb Yehuda doesn't hold of signs. If he's the one that gives us the whole idea of how to do the labeling on the shofarot in the first place. So that can't be what the issue is when you talked about the fear of putting it in the wrong box. Kiyata Rav Dimi Amar. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he says what they say back in Eretz Yisrael is that Mipnea Ta'arovet is not that he's afraid that you're going to get the wrong money in the wrong box. He's afraid that if you're going to have a box full of cash that is meant to be half used for a korban chatas of, because that's the din in Kinei Chova, then if one of the people who puts the money in the box dies, you got to throw out all the money because then it's chatos hamesos. And Chatos HaMesos ushers everything. So that would mean that we can't rely on putting money into a box because we'll never be able to use it. Maybe the guy who put it in is dead. What do you mean, maybe he's dead? Why should we be chayish? He's dead. He wasn't dead when he put it in. So why should we assume that he died now? Didn't we learn Beferish in the Mishnah, which is Nogay, exactly this issue? The Mishnah is in Gittin because over there we're concerned if somebody sends a get. It took a half a year for the get to come here and so on. Do we know that it was a get or maybe the guy is dead and then she would be chayiv and yibum possibly and so on and so forth, right? So it says over there in the Mishnah, but it's none. If somebody sends a korban chatas from overseas and it comes to the Beis HaMikdash and we'll say, oh, look, you know, this thing has been on the road for 3 months. How do we know the guy's still alive? It says, of course you bring it because it was a chazaka. The guy was alive when he sent it. It's a cheska shuchai, shukayam. So the same thing should be true over here. If the guy sent the money, so then we can assume that he's still alive. Okay, fine. I said it wrong, but you know perfectly well what the issue is. if you're going to allow people to put in the money for a kinei chova, which includes a korban chatas, what happens if we find out that one of the people actually did die? Not that we're afraid he will die. He did die, okay? So then that means we're going to throw out all of the money. So we can't afford to do that kind of thing. So let everybody set up their own issue with the way that they're going to bring the korban chatas. Don't mix the monies together. That's the tarovet. I'm afraid about mixing money together from people that may end up having their money usher bahana because it's a chatas habetzos money. That's my point. Well, I mean, let's say that we find out that somebody died. Couldn't we just take out the price of one of these birds, right? So we'll take out arba zuze, which is the cost, like we had in the story of Omdu, that the kinim were omed on the price of four zuze, and throw it into the Amamelach, you know, and that way you won't be nene from it. And that way we'll say that we were yotze with Brera because we chose which one, whichever one we chose, that should be the one. And it's put in there with the das that at the point that it's chosen. So that will be the money from this person, right? So can't you do that? And then the rest of them will be mutter. I mean, so why would Rabbi Yehuda say, if you're agreed that we don't have to worry that somebody died, it's only if we know that he died. So then we have a simple solution. If we know that he died, we take out the money, we say, this is the carbon for Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so who died, and we throw it into the Amamelach. Oh, well, that would be a very good idea if you hold like the Rabbonah. But the problem is that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Breira, which means there's no way to be able to do this. You can't get away with it. You can't just take out four zuzim at random and say, now that these were the four zuzim that came out, these were the four zuzim that were meant to be selected for Mr. who is now deceased, Carbon. You can't say that. How do you know? How do you know he doesn't hold of Breira? I know what you're going to tell me, but I'm not going to tell you until tomorrow morning. So meanwhile, you can have a wonderful Shavua Tov, Hinei El Yeshua Siyef Tach V'lo Evchad. That's a very difficult assertion nowadays. So let me tell you, if you can say that in your Avdolah, you're ahead of the game. But you got to really mean it. Shavua Tov, everyone. See you in the morning, Bezrat Hashem. Thank you so much for coming. Kol Tov.